Lisa Schwartzbaum in Entertainment Weekly said about Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 that half the spellcasting formula lies in what the audience itself brings to it. And since I deliberately avoided everything but movie number 1, it hardly seems likely that I can do justice to number 8, especially if the same magazine's Jeff Jensen is right in saying that the development of the kids, Daniel Radcliffe, Emma Watson, and Rupert Grint, became the defining story of these movies. But I've never seen a special effects extravaganza which anything like that could be said, not even The Wizard of Oz. And in any case, the development seemed to have been pretty much complete before the few concluding sequences that remained for Deathly Hallows Part 2. Even I can see that Watson's Hermione has grown out of her childlike smugness, and Radcliffe's Harry is subject to fear almost occasionally to the level of panic. But the great attraction remains the sets and special effects, and these will be enough for most audiences. It isn't that we haven't seen dragons that fly and spit fire, and weapons that spit fire, too, often enough before. The inevitable mano-a-mano encounter between the villain and the hero may even be a bit of a letdown. But the details are impressive. Watch especially how every goblet in the multiplying treasure shots seems to have its own movement and lighting. I've long been weary of movies in which people are, in Jensen's words, temporarily deceased, and doubt that people will need the handkerchief that Reuters.com recommends. But every dime of the $200 million production cost is on the screen, and there's more wow to the spectacle than I've ever seen before. For once, that's enough. Jim Erickson, over and out.